Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How are you doing?
I am all right. Just figuring out life, the universe, and everything. I'll let you know when I have the answers.
It's 42, Greg. You know this.
I do know that. What am I thinking?
I don't know. So I learned something this week that that I thought was very exciting.
Okay.
So, Recalibration Matrix is now officially part of the Marvel Illuminati. Is that correct?
Yes, Jay. That is correct. We have been accused of a conspiracy theory to promote Miss Marvel on people who don't want it.
Awesome.
Someone accused us and others of. Apparently, it's very suspicious that after a surprise character is announced, a lot of people want to talk about that character. And a lot of people are very angry that she exists. And it's very unfair for some reason.
You are a moderator of the main...
The official group, yes.
Group, right? So, I take it that, like, this... This announcement of Ms. Marvel, is it Miss or Ms?
Aren't they the same? Miss.
No,
Miss Marvel.
The same. Miss.
Miss okay. And Ms. are different?
Yes.
It's M.S. Marvel.
M.S. stands for Ms., I think, but...
Okay.
One second. Okay, so Miss. Use Miss when addressing young girls or women under 30 that are unmarried.
Yeah.
Ms. Use Ms. when you are not sure of the woman's marital status, if the woman is unmarried and over 30, or if she prefers to be addressed with a marital status neutral title.
All right, so she's Miss Marvel.
Okay.
This has not been
a normal character reveal, right? Like,
I mean, so, we've had
lots of character reveals.
Yeah, and this one has gone very differently, and I think it's a mix of things. Number one, her pose is very static. She's just doing the, like, she's standing with her hands on her hips, and her hair and scarf are blowing.
Yeah.
And so it's a really basic static pose.
But it's, like, even I, who knows basically nothing about Ms. Marvel, like, kind of recognized that pose from
her most
famous...
It is when you Google Miss Marvel, that's the photo that shows up. That's the comic book cover that shows up. It's that one, and then the cover of her very first issue are like one of the two hits. So it's her very iconic pose. The only thing that is missing is she's blowing a bubble for bubblegum in the cover, and she's not doing that in the model. And so the model's really basic looking, and people are complaining about the pose.
Okay.
For example, a lot of times she'll like stretch her fist and make it big and punch someone, or she'll like make her legs longer so she can go really fast. So they're like, well, why isn't she using her powers? Which is a fair question. Personally, I believe she's going to be a Transformer and have two models, but who knows? Like, we'll wait and see. I would like to remind anybody that Ant-Man and the Wasp were originally shown with their tiny versions. Like, they put them on, like, a fire hydrant and took a photo of Ant-Man. And then they put, like, the Wasp on a curb and took a photo of her. And they didn't show the normal-sized versions for a while. So I don't know. We'll see. There are people complaining that they don't know who she is. Honestly, I heard similar complaints after Spider-Man Enter the Spider-Verse, where they were like, I don't know who this kid is, right? There has always been this very minor controversy where, like, Marvel did an event where they basically tried to replace classic heroes with a new, younger version of that hero. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I think it was called like the all new, all different Marvel or something. And so, Amadeus Cho became the Hulk. Like, he absorbed all the Hulk's energy and he was the Hulk. And then Bruce Banner was just Bruce Banner from then on for a while. Uh-huh. Kamala Khan became Miss Marvel. Riri became Ironheart, but her first promotional stuff was like, she's the new Iron Man. It was how they marketed her. There were a couple other characters like that. I forget all of them. So this was 7 years ago, and the only one that was popular enough to get a ton of attention was Kamala Khan. She is a fan favorite. She is very popular. When they announced Crisis Protocol, the card pack for Kamala Khan got more cheers than anything else in that video. If you go back and watch it, it's like, yeah, people are excited. And then it's like, and we're going to have Miss Marvel. And people are like, wow, oh my God. She's popular. Nerds like her. She is a popular character. She is probably the most popular new character since Miles Morales was created. So, like, it's a big deal.
The thing that's kind of weird to me about all of it is that, like, I don't know, like, if there's a new character coming out for Marvel Crisis Protocol that I don't know much about, like, my basic reaction to it, or what I'm prone to think, isn't like, man, I'm so upset that this character is coming in the game. Instead, I think, like, you know, I'm interested to learn more about the character, or to read some comics about the character, or whatever, right? And so it just seems so strange to me.
Well, I didn't get to my last point, which is that I think the fact that she is a female Muslim character with immigrant parents seems to be off-putting to some people who... I saw a lot of people say, I just don't relate to this character. As kind of their excuse so you're saying I can't relate to this nerdy teenage outsider who gets superpowers and then has to keep it secret from her family. What's the difference between her and Peter Parker is what I think I would ask these people. And the fact is there's not that much in between their, like, general conception, except that Peter Parker has a ton of tragedy, like personal tragedy that he goes through, and guilt, and Kamala Khan is more upbeat and, like, optimistic about things. I really feel like there's something about a Muslim character that is driving people away from giving her a shot. I think it's, and the thing is, right, is that there are several reasons I think people don't like her as a character. And if you look at Facebook, it's mixed. Like, you can't tell from some of these people's complaints what their actual complaint is. And I think it's really, like, there are some people who are just out and out, like, very obvious. Like, you're just like, I don't want to read this comic because I won't like it. And it's like, that's too bad, right? Like, it's sad that there's a very popular new thing and someone is not willing to give it a shot for a very superficial and silly reason.
Yeah.
I wrote a post about, so I shared the announcement on the Facebook group, and then I was like, you know, people won't know who she is. There's a lot of people who just won't know. So I will write a short, you know, primer. And I recommended two comics if you're curious. One of them was her individual series, and then one of her was a team comic that she was in. And, like, that was the post where someone suggested it was part of a conspiracy theory that why is there so much interest in this character on the day she was announced? And I was just like, are we serious? Because we don't think that, like, people were excited when Cable was announced. The main difference, right, is that this release, this preview is controversial because people don't like the sculpt, or people just don't like the existence of this character.
Yeah.
Which is sad. And it's, to me, it feels a lot like when the movie Captain Marvel was announced, and there were people who were like, Captain Marvel's a man. It's not this. This is Miss Marvel. How dare they change a thing? I'm so upset that she's not Miss Marvel anymore. And it was like, you are obviously a fake comic fan, because Captain Marvel died in the 80s, and then was almost immediately replaced with a female black Captain Marvel, and then she was Captain Marvel for a long time, and then it was a cloned alternate reality, like, punk teenager, and then it was, like, it's just like, you can't be upset that superheroes have, like, legacy, right? That they pass their name, or their name gets passed down, and that there are new Captain Americas sometimes, and that there are new Miss Marvels, when that has been a part of all comics since the 70s, right? Like, I think it was in the 70s where we started getting the idea that, like, these identities can be passed on, right? Like, there's been multiple Goliaths, there's been multiple Ant-Mans and Giant-Mans and Yellow Jackets and Captain Americas and Black Widows, and I think there's been two Hawkeyes, three now that we count Kate Bishop. And, you know, there's legacy and, like, the idea that superheroes inspire other heroes that want to be like them and sometimes take the name and costume, that's a part of comics. It's normal. It's a thing that comics do.
Well, I'm sorry that you've kind of had to deal with that. It doesn't sound...
It hasn't been that bad. It's just there's been... It's sad to me. It's sad that people aren't going to give her a shot, because they just have this gut reaction of, like, this isn't for me.
Right. You know?
And it's just like, these are probably the same people who, like, won't try Mediterranean food, or, like, they won't, you know, step outside of their comfort zone every once in a while and try something new. And, like, personally, I read this and I immediately was like, oh, Kamala Khan's like a new Spider-Man. Like, she is a teenage hero. She's keeping it secret. She gets involved in, like, teams, and she gets drawn into this superhero world. And what's even weirder, Jay, is that there were people just posting stuff about her that was a lie. Like, they were like, she's Indian. She's not. She's not Hindi. She's not Indian. She's Pakistani and Muslim. There are people like, she has really restrictive parents. It's like, nope, her parents are great. And in fact, their very first appearance is showing that the parents and, like, her family, they're not, like, super strict religious. They're, you know, they're normal. They're probably as religious as most Christian families, right? Like, it's sad. These people are not, like, trying their best. They're not living their best life. And I wish that they would enjoy it more. We've spent too much time on this, Jay, and I feel like I'm just ranting, so.
The only other news from my life is, on Monday, I got my second vaccination shot, and the next day kind of hit me like a truck, but now I'm feeling good.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We should all get vaccinated if we are physically able to.
Yeah. And Gameopolis, of the people working at Gameopolis who haven't already caught COVID, they all got the Johnson & Johnson, and they're already, like, fully functional with their vaccine superpowers, and so today is actually the day that we are starting to host events for the first time in over a year. So,
yay!
That's another exciting thing for me.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really happy to see game stores opening up and being safe, and nature can start healing. It's going to be great.
It is. Well. Anything from you, or are you ready to dive into...
No, I want to talk about Sabretooth.
Sabretooth and Wolverine.
Yeah. So a couple fun things about Sabretooth. He started out as an Iron Fist villain who was just, like, a serial killer.
Okay.
He didn't have powers.
Okay.
He wasn't... It was when he was, like, brought in to become, like, an X-Men villain that he, like... started becoming, oh, he's a mutant and he could heal, and he was just made into this, like, bad version of Wolverine. And then when they started doing Wolverine comics, they kind of rolled him into Wolverine's origins, And so this comic's really cool. It shows us a lot of things that are like Wolverine and Sabretooth's past. Well, they kind of try to like reevaluate it with this new storyline. But so Sabretooth is, in most regards, he is what would happen to Wolverine if Wolverine like stopped having self-control and became more of a beast, right? He has Wolverine's healing factor. He even later gets adamantium claws and teeth so that he can like fight on an equal level with Wolverine. He's bad Wolverine. And I think that happens in comics a lot where they're like, the evil version of this character is going to be very similar to the normal version, right? Like Iron Man keeps fighting dudes with shitty Iron Man suits. And so in like the 80s, you know, they started filling in the backstory and we learned, right, that Sabretooth and Wolverine were in Weapon X together. They were part of the same program. Sabretooth sees Wolverine as a personal threat because like he's Wolverine has greater prominence than him. And so there's been a lot of like just completely messed up stuff. And we see some of it in this comic where Wolverine was happy and living with Silver Fox. And then Sabretooth murders and rapes her to like punish Wolverine, right? Like it's just completely messed up. And Sabretooth kind of does, like, I think throughout their comics together, Sabretooth has killed like three of Wolverine's love interests just to hurt Wolverine. Like he's just really messed up. He's just a really hateful, fucked up guy. And so in this comic we read, which is called Evolution, and it's Wolverine issues 50 through 55, we see this like weird memories that Wolverine is having that shows these like throughout, like we get one at the beginning of each issue, and there are these like memories of this like these cat people fighting each other. They're wolf people, I'm sorry. So like in the first one, they're like they're basically werewolves, it looks like. And then as it goes, they're kind of becoming more normal. And there's always a black-haired one versus a blonde-haired one. And so by the end, we've learned this like new wrinkle to the story for Wolverine and Sabretooth, which is that they are both an alternate version of like humanity that have evolved from wolves. And the alpha is this character named Romulus, who Sabretooth is terrified of. And we kind of get these hints that like Sabretooth says that eventually Wolverine will become like him. And so it's suggested that Sabretooth has lived a lot longer than Wolverine, and that's why he's the way he is. And that it's just this really weird backstory, right? That, hey, they're not really humans. They're this other species of like wolf men. And they set up that like, oh, you know, there's a lot of other mutants that have like wolf-like powers. And it's suggested that they are also part of this side species. I guess I should start about the actual story, right? Is that Wolverine goes to the X-Men because Sabretooth has joined the X-Men at this point, and Wolverine and Sabretooth fight. And then Wolverine is defeated, and then he wakes up and Sabretooth is flying him like across the planet, and Wolverine breaks in and they fight some more, and then it crashes in Wakanda where they fight some more, and then Storm stops them. And then it turns out that Black Panther and Storm wanted to show them this evidence they have of these like wolfmen evolving parallel to Homo sapiens. And then Sabretooth breaks out again. And he runs and he's like going to meet somebody that Wolverine realizes, oh no, he's going to go meet someone. And Black Panther goes out to hunt him. So they have to, Storm and Wolverine have to go and make sure Black Panther doesn't die, or that, you know, Sabretooth doesn't escape because someone else is going to help him. And it turns out that he is going to meet Romulus at this point. And so then Wolverine tracks them back to the Weapon X place with these other wolf-like mutants. And I think it's Feral, who is it? It's Feral Rainn Wilson, who's in the New Mutants movie. I'm sorry. I get them all mixed up because they're basically all like werewolfy.
Yeah. Mutants. There's like Sasquatch and.
Sasquatch is there too. Yeah. So basically they're all like, and two of them are, they'd lost their powers and so they're repowered, but they're not sure why. So they get there and they're fighting. And Wolverine's still having these weird memories. Wolverine goes in alone and then he sees that like Sabretooth has been reduced to like the state of an animal. Like he's mindless. And he kills Feral. Like I think Sasquatch is defeated by Wildchild, who's another mutant that's wolf-like. And so they escape. Wolverine goes to Cyclops and convinces him to give him the Muramasa sword, which is a classic piece of 90s Wolverine. This is a sword that Wolverine had made where the creator of the sword put bits of his soul into it in order to make it this like magic sword. And basically, you can't heal from wounds that it gives you. So, like, Wolverine goes, he cuts off one of Sabretooth's arms, and Sabretooth, like, tries to put it back on to heal, and it just falls off. And then Wolverine's like, we're gonna end this. And Sabretooth is like, rawr, do it, rawr! And so Wolverine decapitates him. And that's the end, except that we are left with this, like, what's going on with Romulus? What's going on with Wildchild? So to put it clearly, this entire storyline happened, but Marvel Comics pretends like that alternate evolution thing never happened, and that the evolving from wolves thing is not real. They just don't acknowledge that happened anymore. Because there's a lot of weird ramifications, right? Like if Wolverine's not a mutant, he's just an alternate evolution. Like, does that matter? Why is he an X-Men if he's not really a mutant? And Wolverine has children with other people. Like, how does that work? So now they just say like, oh yeah, they're mutants. They're just normal Homo sapiens, and we're not going to acknowledge all of this stuff that happened. In a later comic, Wolverine dies and he faces the devil who keeps Sabretooth as a pet, by the way. So that's also a fun thing that happens later.
Okay.
I love it. I love the like craziness of hell in comics.
You do love that, yes.
I do. I love it. This comic was made by Jeff Loeb, who I have a weird relationship how I feel about Jeff Loeb. He wrote one of the best Batman comics ever. He wrote Batman The Long Halloween. He wrote a lot of like classic 90s stuff, which was bad. Like mostly it's bad. Like Heroes Reborn was one of the worst things Marvel ever did, and it was mostly under him. He wrote the Age of Apocalypse stuff, which was unfortunately not great. He's written a lot of like really good stuff and really bad stuff. He did a lot of really bad, like, he was the one who they kind of brought in to finish off the Ultimate Universe, and it was terrible. It was just awful stuff. So it's weird. Like, this comic has Jeff Loeb writing it, and I'm just like, I don't care for that. But then it also has this beautiful art by, Silvestri. Like, I love the art here. I don't know. What did you think of it, Jay?
So, I kind of had two big issues. So, the first one is I did have issues with the writing. So, it felt like, as an example, on, you know, issue 52, the third comic in the sixth comic arc, it starts off and like it just feels like someone who is an English major that also wants to be an edgelord.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Okay, so here's how this comic starts. You never forget your first time. I know it's been said before, You've even heard it before, but unless you've lived it, consider yourself lucky if you haven't. It's the smell of blood. And I'm almost sorry, I know it all too well. And then it just goes, like, on and on about the smell of blood. While also, and then this kind of goes onto my other complaint, it goes into this flashback of, it looks like it's ancient Rome.
Okay.
And so, like, there's flashbacks, there's memories, there's dreams, there's, like, things going on all over the place with very little coherent story, it feels like sometimes.
Yeah, so there are a couple weird things about this. So the beginning of each issue is memories that Romulus is sending him to, like, help him accept this, you know, lupine reality. There's, like, a secret story going on. I'll also point out, so the flashbacks are all things from other Wolverine comics in, like, Wolverine's history. And then there's one flashback that is, like, really weird, because it's a flashback.
Just one?
Just one. So most of them are flashbacks to other Wolverine comics, right? Kind of explaining Wolverine and Sabretooth's backstory, or explaining, like, the first one was, like, why did Wolverine fight the Hulk long ago? But there's one where he's fighting the Hulk and the Hulk rips him apart. That is from the Ultimate Comics, which means that is a memory from a different universe. And I don't know. I'm confused as to why Wolverine has that memory. And he even says, like, that didn't happen or something. Like, he knows that that memory isn't something he's ever done. And so I'm wondering if this is just sort of like Jeff Loeb being cute and being like, all Wolverines are connected or something. I was very confused as, like, because I knew that's from Ultimate Hulk versus Wolverine issue one. Like, that's the end of issue one.
Sure.
And I know that. Like, I'm very intimate with that comic. Like, why is this in here? Why is he remembering that? So that's kind of a weird thing I noticed. But yeah, I liked it. I thought the flashbacks were pretty cool. Some of the dialogue is bad. Some of the writing is not good.
Yes. Yes. Like, there's so much. Yeah. Like, that was just a small taste of the.
Well, like, it doesn't help that neither of these characters are eloquent, and they both are kind of, like, rough characters.
Yeah.
The ending has my like the silliest lines where it's like, pop those claws and I'm gonna rip your heart out, and he goes, go at it, and I was like, I'll do it, and then it goes snicked, and that's the end of the issue.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
And then it says, like, to be continued, or no, how does it say it? Like, all done for now, or something.
Does it?
It says, the end for now, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, that does sound kind of amateurish.
So, I mean, and again, maybe this was just my failure as a reader, but, like, I totally didn't catch that these were, like, being sent to him from Romulus.
So the way you can tell is there's always, like, a dark figure in the shadows watching the black and the blonde fighting.
I thought that it was just this, oh, it turns out that Wolverine is actually just super freaking old, and he's been fighting with Sabretooth since prehistoric times, effectively.
Oh, no. So these are... No. Because we know that Wolverine was born in, like, the mid-1800s. Because that was a big comic event called Wolverine Origins.
Sure, but, I mean, I understand it would be, like, strange for comics to change a origin story, but...
Yeah, fine, okay. Well, anyways, Jay, that is the situation that Romulus is sending these messages. And the sub story, right, is that Romulus has two clans that he rules over. One is the black haired and one is the blonde haired. And they fight. And that's what all the backstories are, right? There's a blonde guy and a black haired guy competing against each other.
I didn't catch that at all.
Okay. So that is what happens. At the beginning of each issue, we see a different, like, historical era of this secret clan fighting it out. And it does seem to go back, like...
And it definitely has a prehistoric flashback.
Yeah. Like, it's the Romulus is ridiculously old.
Yeah. So I guess the other thing that was kind of disappointing was related to Romulus. Like, it kind of seemed like it was building him up as this big bad, but it didn't really seem to say very much about him.
Yeah, I mean, they're setting up a big future comic event for him.
Sure.
It goes on for years, I think.
Sure.
Like, I think it's like it took like 3 or 4 years to go through.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I won't say that it's my favorite comic arc, but I think that one of the things you said is accurate, that like just the way that Wolverine and Sabretooth are kind of portrayed, they're not going to like have a deep philosophical discussion about the universe with each other or whatever, right? It's just, I don't know. I'm not sure how much of my issue with it is the characters versus the creation decisions that the creators made.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of this is like, they're, but it's a lot of action, right? And this is,
yeah,
this event is a big, just like Sabretooth versus Wolverine fight. And I mean, okay, part of this is a flaw with Sabretooth, right? Like, if Wolverine is just a really hardy fight guy who can be really violent when he needs to, and then Sabretooth is just a more violent version of Wolverine, like, what kind of challenges are they going to present each other?
Right, yeah.
They're just going to fight real hard until they kill.
Yeah.
So
this comic's 17 years old, is that correct?
I believe so. It came out.
No,
not that old.
It's 2007 or 8, because yeah. That was when the arc started, was 2003, and then this is like episode
50. Yeah, this was coming out. This was coming out when I worked in comic shops.
Okay.
And I remember people had mixed opinions. Some thought the whole Romulus thing was really cool, and then a lot of people thought it sucked.
I guess the question I had was, you read a lot more of like the stuff that's releasing like now on the Marvel app.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Marvel would do what they did with Sabretooth, where they're basically like, yeah, Wolverine was in love with this girl, and so Sabretooth raped and killed her?
No. I haven't read the original comic. I am willing to bet he didn't rape her in the original comic. He just killed her.
Uh-huh.
And the rape was added in this, like, 2000s comic. I don't know. I think the whole hurting a woman to hurt a man thing is pretty shittily sexist to begin with.
Right. Yeah.
I think they call it in pop culture term, it's called like fridging.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember exactly, but so it's actually from a Green Lantern comic. Because there was this comic where so the trope is called women in refrigerators.
Okay.
So it's a trope, but it's basically from a Green Lantern comic where, like, Green Lantern comes back and his girlfriend has been murdered and folded into his fridge. And so there's this page where he opens it up and it's like, oh my God! And it's this just, you hurt a woman to hurt
right.
the man is the
right.
trope. And it's very common in comics. Like,
right.
it is, yeah.
And that's
what Saber, like, and I get it on some levels that it's an easy way to like hurt the male characters, because comics are so many comics are male driven, right? Because
right,
we have
yeah.
so many more male characters. And honestly, I think threatening the loved ones of a character in general only works if the character is like Superman, where there is no other way to challenge that character except to put a loved one in danger. But like, how many movies have been like, we've kidnapped your wife and children? Like, but yeah, they would never be like, and then he raped her. They just wouldn't.
Right.
Because also, you know, like, a movie would have to show the bad guy coming in and doing the bad things, right? Like, they wouldn't be like, and also I raped her.
Yeah, well, I mean, it does. I guess one of the times that it it felt like culturally there was a little bit of a turning point on this was after, like, it was probably about like the 20 or 30th rape scene in Game of Thrones. There was finally like kind of a bit of a social outcry over it.
Yeah.
And at least I've noticed it a bit more since then, but
yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, what are the things that you liked the most from this arc?
I enjoyed how it's just a constant back and forth slugfest. I wish it was better. So I have long kind of hated things that were just the same thing over and over. And it's actually Mad Max Fury Road that made me sort of think about that, because if you watch Mad Max Fury Road, it is 95% chase scenes. And so I have hoped that other things will find a way to like do more of that and make it into good storytelling. This, I think it works. I think it's the entire six issues is just Wolverine and Sabretooth trying to kill each other over and over, and then like other characters get in the way is kind of it. And it's unfortunate, I think, if anything, that like Sabretooth is turned into like a feral version of himself instead of them having like a real resolution. It's more like Wolverine is doing the right thing by putting him out of his misery. And I mean, I think they did that to make it a little bit safer, right? Like, Wolverine's not being a bad guy. He's helping.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that does work with it is kind of like the story of this, you know, enmity that has gone on for centuries or decades, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and it also kind of helps to give them a backstory and explain things. And I will say this, the reason that Sabretooth started the like rivalry with Wolverine is that the original story plan that Chris Claremont had was to make Sabretooth Wolverine's dad. And that's why, like, in the comics, Sabretooth calls Wolverine his sloppy seconds. Like, you're a bad imitation of me is something that, like, Sabretooth taunts Wolverine with. And it was so clear that, like, after Chris Claremont wasn't in charge of things anymore, they did a story arc about, like, oh, S.H.I.E.L.D. did a DNA test and you two aren't related. And, like, they had to like, squash that because they didn't want to do it.
That's kind of funny. One of the things that I found myself thinking at multiple points during this is, like, that he... So not only would he have... At least, maybe tell me if I'm wrong on this, but he would have evidently like these dreams or visions or whatever from Romulus, but then he would also have like flashbacks of different interactions that he's had with Sabretooth, right?
Yeah, and all of those were from past comics.
Sure. Okay. So part of what was kind of funny to me was both of them had like instances where they got like the upper hand in the fight, knocked out the other person or whatever, and then the other, you know, if Wolverine would then, you know, wake up, time would elapse, he'd wake up and be like, oh man, I'm still here.
Yeah, I'm not dead yet for some reason.
And like, there comes a point, like, I would keep thinking about, like, so if I had like this mortal enemy that I've been, you know, fighting for decades, and I get to the point where he's completely vulnerable to me, and I know his superpowers of healing, like, how have I not yet figured out a way to actually kill him?
Well, okay, Jay, you're,
besides a magic sword,
you missed a point. I think there is a reason. No, there is. Romulus wants Sabretooth to bring Wolverine to him. That's why they were flying like over Wakanda. That's why Sabretooth tries to like run to Romulus. Like, he was supposed to bring Logan with him. And okay, so... it sets up that Sabretooth is afraid of Romulus and obeys him. So that's why.
So I guess that kind of explains Sabretooth. Why hasn't Wolverine...
whenever that happens, there's another character there. Like Storm and Black Panther don't want him to be executed on their land.
I don't remember on all those flashbacks someone getting in the way.
Oh, in the flashbacks. Yeah, I don't know, Jay. I don't know the answer to that. I don't have great... yeah, in the flashbacks, yes. Why doesn't Wolverine just kill Sabretooth?
Like, right. And it's like, man, I know he has this healing factor, I guess I'm going to chop his arm off.
Yeah,
pop
and this
him
is like,
to the side.
This is like classic comic book stuff, though, right? Like, yeah. Batman is like, by not executing Joker, I'm doing the right thing and, like, upholding my values. And then it's like, when Joker murders, like, 200 people in a shopping mall, does he, like, look at that and go, like, uh-oh, maybe I should have taken Joker out of the picture, right? Like, but this is Wolverine who kills people, not kill. Yes. Yeah. Yes. But that's like just one of those, you know, well, the writer didn't want it to happen.
I guess no one accused Wolverine of being smart. I don't know.
I don't know, it was there, buddy.
Yeah. So anyways, it was kind of funny. I would end up thinking of various ways that I would potentially do it or whatever. And it would cause kind of funny, like, let's say you get Sabretooth unconscious and you, like, completely cremate him. Like, do the ashes come together? Like, they do have pictures of him fighting, basically incinerated, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, but they're like, their bodies are still whole. So to kill Wolverine or Sabretooth, you just have to decapitate them.
Well, there you go. Like, how effing hard is that for Wolverine to do?
I mean, apparently really hard.
Anyways, it's kind of funny to me that he, like, eventually he's like, okay, I'm going to use my magic sword to kill you.
Yeah, I have to go get it from Cyclops.
Yeah.
I do like that he has this magic sword that can kill him, and he gives it to, like, the one X-Men who he's like, yeah, Cyclops would kill me if I went too far. He would probably enjoy that. Like, that cracked me up. I haven't read the story where he gives the sword to Cyclops, but now I kind of want to.
We've kind of already gone over, you know, things that didn't work for us as well, but is there anything else that you wanted to touch on?
I just really liked the art. It really stood out to me. It was very nice. Like, the pencils were good, but then the like inky, almost watercolor style was just, it was really nice. It was Simone Bianchi, and then, like, later on it was, like, Jenkins, but it wasn't Paul Jenkins, it was another Jenkins. I don't know. And they did switch artists a couple times. Like, you can tell different styles, but I just thought it was a very well done, like, I liked it a lot.
So are you ready for Sabretooth to enter the MCU?
I mean, I'm just excited for all the mutants to join the MCU. I think Sabretooth is, like, he's a perfect role for, like, a wrestler or something, you know? Like, someone who can really ham it up.
Mm.
So, yeah.
That's fair enough. So, I guess one last question real quick. It starts off with Logan talking about how there used to be, like, hundreds of thousands of mutants, and now there's just a small handful.
Yeah, that's after House of
Was
M.
Was this also after House of M?
Yep. Yeah, it's after House of M. Genosha was first, and then House of M, yeah.
Okay. Well, anything else that you wanted to touch on or say about these comics?
No, they're really... I mean, so I kind of said that thing about how, you know, it's like they don't really matter as much anymore, but I think they're a really good primer for Sabretooth. Like, they show a lot of the backstory, and I really like them a lot, so I hope you enjoy them. They're great.
Okay, so we're going to have our next episode be about Toad.
Yes, and because there are not many great comics where Toad is, like, the main character, we're going to take this opportunity to read a classic alternate reality Marvel comic called Marvel 1602 by Neil Gaiman. There are 8 issues, so just read issues 1 through 8 of Marvel 1602 for our Toad episode.
Hooray!
Yay!
So, smash the subscribe button at our new low price, and you can hear us talk about Sabretooth in-game, and we also have 2 episodes of Falcon and Winter Soldier to discuss.
2? I think we're at 1.
I guess we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
Anyway. Okay. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Thank you.